when we open God's word, it is a living word. It is alive. It is appropriate for today. I mentioned that this morning, that, you know, if God's word is not relevant to you and what is going on in your life, it would be a waste of time. But it is relevant. It deals with today. Yesterday, yes, but today too. And God has given us a glimpse on Sunday nights. Now, this will be the first Sunday night. For months, we were in the book of Revelation. And we got through that to a point where John showed us what a little glimpse of heaven in chapters 21 and 22. He showed us a little bit of what it would consist of. So you won't be totally shocked when you get there. Some of you might be surprised you got there, but anyway, you won't be totally shocked. The church is supposed to be relevant. When the Apostle Paul, when the Apostle Peter, when the Apostle John, when James did their writing, they were writing to the church of their time, and what they were trying to do was share the relevancy of what God was teaching them and how it could be applied by them to their situation. Paul knew when he converted, and he had no choice, when he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus Christ appeared to him, he knew then that Jesus Christ was taking control of his life. And he knew that he would probably, because he had been on the other side, he knew that he would probably one day have to give his life for Jesus, for what he believed. We haven't come to that point in this country, but folks, we are way, way away from what we once were. The country that you and I grew up in as kids no longer exists. Can we get back there with a miracle? But I don't anticipate the miracle. The miracle would be called revival. That's not going to happen. So tonight, I'd like us to look at what Paul wrote to Timothy in Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, in his second letter. At that point, Paul knew he was about to die. He knew that his days could be numbered and that he was going to give his life and go to heaven very shortly. And so he wrote to Timothy a warning. A warning that Timothy could either take or reject. And you can do the same thing with it tonight. So I would like us to read together 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Turn away. Now, I do a lot of reading, and Matthew Henry who lived in the 1600s, did a commentary on the Bible. He made a very true observation over three centuries ago that is still true today. He said, when men do not fear God, they will not regard man. When men do not fear God, they will not regard man. Our children, for almost two generations now, have been taught that life has no value. Life has no value. You don't have to look very far to see evidence of that. Every night, there's a shooting someplace, or multiple shootings, or during the day, multiple shootings. That is because they no longer have a value for life. When men do not fear God, they will not regard man. Now, 2,000 years have passed since Paul warned Timothy about the last days. Man has always been filled with wickedness. It just seems more prevalent today, more open. Paul gave Timothy 19 characteristics of what would be taking place in the last days. And I would like us to look at those one by one tonight to see if they are prevalent. With all that's being presented in the nightly news, we could begin making a comparison with Paul's caution to Timothy. And it wouldn't be occurring in Israel. It would be occurring in Washington, D.C. Which would cause us to make a grave error. Our measure should not be with just one small area of the country. Our assessment should be levied upon the whole of the nation and not just one political party, but should include all of the politicians. I believe that we will find that the corruption goes all the way from the top to the bottom. That's what was going on in Paul's life. People, that was 2,000 years ago. Tim and I were just talking about rechargeable batteries. And the last occasion that I had to have anything to do with rechargeable batteries was back in the 1980s and 90s. And I made the comment to him, I'm sure they have been improved since then. Well, Paul warned Timothy back in the time of his writing, sometime around between 75 AD and 85 AD. And man has had a lot of time to improve what he's doing. I think today it's worse than it ever has been. And we who are older are not quite up to date as the younger crowd. We don't understand some of the terminology. That's one of the reasons that with a computer I get into a world of trouble. Because I don't understand what the words mean. There's terminology that is used today, and you have heard it. I know every one of you have heard it. There's a thing called cancel culture, which is straight out of hell. There is nothing good in it. I am sure the devil giggles every time somebody applies it. And we'll look at that another night. There's critical race theory. And again, straight out of hell. It has not come from this book we call the Bible, this book that we're supposed to be reading and following and living. But these movements in our society, within our society, are sponsored by the devil. He is real. He is living. He is the prince of the power of the air. He's in charge right now. I guess it took them a little time to get up to speed that all these things are going on now. And something that we need to be very aware of and prayerful of concerning is that the church is failing. And our society is disintegrating around us. So let's take some time to look at what Paul warned Timothy about. When God originally formed the earth and the things upon the earth, there was a particular sequence that met the approval of God. The sequence in order of authority and priority was God first, then the family, and then government. That was the way he set it up, because that was his plan. As we meet tonight, our nation is promoting government first, society second, and they are attempting to destroy the family. That's their purpose. If you have one, guard it with your life. God is no longer even in the formula. While God existed within our society, family was subject to him. And all the laws of biology were verifiable and then in place. Folks, I majored in biology in college. I went all the way through parasitology. I know they don't know anything about biology. I don't know what in the world they're teaching people. Since our government's declaration has taken the place of God, I wonder how government is going to work out having babies. Just to show you how absent the family is. I especially want to see how the delivery of the baby is going to be worked out by our new God called Washington, D.C. Let's look at the things that Paul told Timothy to be on the lookout for. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's quite a list of things. What is Paul trying to say that people are going to be doing? Well, number one, they're going to be in love with themselves. And a lot of people are. That kind of love manifests itself through selfishness. It's rampant. Me first. And when I observe in traffic on our city streets, only about 1 in 15 is not selfish. How do you like the Charleston traffic since you got back in this area? I sometimes wait out here at the end of the driveway at 5 o'clock when I get off at five. I don't necessarily always get off at that time, but if I get off at 5 o'clock, it's 4 or 5 minutes for me to get out into traffic. And then it's only by the kindness of some individual who feels some pity. Me first. That's my spot in the road. You can't have that. Have you ever seen a person walk through a door and slam it in the face of the person behind them? Children used to be taught to hold the door open for the adult. Now the adults don't hold the door open for the adult. I held the door open for a lady the other day, and I thought she was actually going to faint. She didn't know whether to come through that door or if I was going to slam it on her. I told her that there were still a few of us left, but she was in total agreement that there were not many. I think that the reason for that movement can be attributed back to the women's liberation movement. They wanted to be treated like men. They demanded on being treated like men. And so when we began to treat them like men, they became offended. You ladies have got us men confused. We don't quite know how to think about that. One of the things the ladies have not thought about with their liberation movement is that you're going to miss a lot of the fun of being a lady. Now, the next sign of the last days is an increase in covetousness. Other people want what you've got. That's why theft is up 11% over the last year. People are being more avaricious. Children are being taught to look out for number one. Just look at the way they've stopped prosecuting shoplifting. In California, if you steal under $800, they will not prosecute you. Do you know that? If you steal under $800, they will not prosecute you. So they're coming in with pillowcases into jewelry stores and filling them up and taking them out. I'm seeing more and more pride being exhibited by the general public. And that results in more boasting. And I'm afraid that I'm also seeing more of our government workers becoming more and more haughty in their service for the public. And pride is a real personal destroyer of any relationship to God. You folks all know, those of you who are home folks, you know how much time I have talked about pride, and God hates it. It's the number one thing he hates because pride leads to so many other sins. One verse in the Old Testament says, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride. No wonder God hates it. The next one we can relate to is boasting. This sin and the next are interconnected, boasting and pride. When I hear a bunch of men getting together, I usually hear somebody boasting. And I'm seeing more and more pride being exhibited by the general public. Pride is a real personal destroyer. If you want a relationship with God, there cannot be pride. The next thing that Paul mentions is blasphemies. Now, people's language is becoming more blasphemous every day. I'm sure you are aware of that. Blasphemy is impiousness against God. That's what blasphemy is. Impiousness against God. Not respecting God for who he is. Not giving God the honor that he is due. Not giving God respect. God has been eliminated by one particular political party already, and so blasphemy is to be expected from their representatives. With the adults acting so badly, it's no wonder that the children are following in their parents' footsteps. People, do you understand where our children are going? They're being directed straight to hell. And that's where they will wind up if you and I are not able to influence them with the truth. I had a situation some weeks ago. Kids who live above me, three little boys, 6, 8, and 10. We're roughhousing. Their parents were not home, or their parent. There is no father. Their mother was not home. They were running around. They were jumping off from furniture. They were dropping heavy objects. My lights were rattling. And so I went upstairs, and I knocked on the door, and things got absolutely quiet. Nobody answered, and I knocked again. Nobody answered. So I knocked on the door like I might have some authority. In other words, I bam, 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 bam. And finally, a teenage girl answered the door. She was babysitting. And I told her about the noise downstairs. And a 10-year-old boy came around the corner and he said, well, this is our home. We can do what we want to in it. Now, you think that kid learned that someplace? Folks, that's the society that we are living in. That's why kids are killing kids. Children are no longer obedient to their parents. I can't stand to go into places like Walmart or a department store that has a toy department. Mommy, I want this. Yeah! I've seen kids hit their parents, kick them. I know what would have happened to me. If I had hit my father or kicked him, I probably wouldn't be here tonight. The Bible still tells us that we are to discipline our children. But you know what? In most states, it's against the law. In most states, it's against the law to discipline your child. I have a little niece down in Florida. I remember the day she came home from school and told her mother, "You can't spank me anymore. I have the number." And her mother told her, "You better call the number." And she didn't, but she could have. Okay. So far, we've just scratched the surface of what's going on in our society. And remember that all of these things are God's plan, a part of it. And that's the part that I really have difficulty getting a hold of. It could be so good. It could be so nice and comfortable. But God has a plan. We talked about it this morning. For every one of you, He has a plan. And His plan, we just studied the book of Revelation. What is His plan? His plan is a one world government under the control of an Antichrist. So all these things that are coming about in our society, we may not like them. And we may chafe under them. But God has a plan. And His plan is for an Antichrist to lead the world. And that can't happen if the world has an organization. That can't happen if you and I believe the Bible and practice the Bible. Because you cannot have a one world plan when we are telling others that God loves them. And why He loves him and what He did because He loves him. There are nations. India won. China won. Russia won. There are nations where this book is illegal. It's illegal in Saudi Arabia. You're not supposed to have a Bible in Saudi Arabia. A few years ago, you could have a Bible. But the whole world is moving toward the point where God is going to permit the Antichrist to get involved. So far, everything that we've looked at is happening right now around us. Right here in this country. And we haven't even gotten to the end of verse 2 yet. People expect that you're going to serve them because that's your job. As far as they are concerned. I don't get personal talking about Jesus either. If people don't believe in God, who do they have to be thankful to? One of the reasons that they are so proud is they think they are accomplishing the things that are being accomplished. They are taking credit for them, not understanding that it is God who is giving us this. God is doing this for us. The last evidence in this second verse is really disturbing. We see it everywhere being promoted by those in authority. It's called wickedness. The Bible calls it unholy. And the Greek language defines wickedness as unholiness, ungodliness. Part of that wickedness is kids killing kids, school shootings, church shootings. It's not guns that are doing it, it's people. They'll find some other way if they take their guns away. The world is filled with wickedness and demonic influence right now. We have to realize that. Now, I know we can't cast out demons like Jesus did. We don't have that authority. We don't have that faith. I laugh. There's a story in the New Testament about some of the Pharisees' sons trying to cast out a demon because Jesus was doing that. And they all wound up naked and running away because the demon knew more than they did. Wickedness. It's hard to look anywhere and not see it. And it is growing. It's growing all around us. It's growing in our lives. It's being administrated by the devil. We have to realize that. We do have a real enemy. You have a real enemy. He is somewhere in your life. Whether you think it or not, he is somewhere in your life. He was even in Jesus' life. Remember that. You're not Jesus. But when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and prayed, he was tempted by the devil in every aspect of temptation that you can experience yourself. And he survived it because he knew the book. He was part of writing it. Let's move on to verse 3. 2 Timothy 3:3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good. You know, there's something I don't understand, and you probably don't either. After a woman has carried a baby to full term for 9 months, cared for it, nurtured it, protected it, how could she permit that baby be torn apart in her womb? Makes me sick to think about it. You know, we support an organization that provides assistance to young women who are pregnant. We should be more involved. We should be. If we think about it, I think we'll get more involved. Mother is supposed to have a natural love for their child. What does this say? Without natural affection. We have a name for that here in this country. It's called abortion. We're one of the few countries in the world that permitted it any time during the pregnancy. Even after the child is born. It's called infanticide, but it is still practiced. It happens. God didn't make that way. God didn't design you ladies that way. He designed you to love your fruit. The mother is supposed to have a natural love. And yet this country, this land you live in, this land that we call our home, has a history of over 65 million abortions. Think of that number. There's only 300 and a few million people in this country. 65 million have already been murdered before they had a chance for life. Look at what's happening right now. Folks, the Bible is very practical. It's very realistic. It's very relevant. Look at what's happening to some of the Supreme Court justices right now. There was a man from California coming to kill one of them. He was intercepted. They are parading out in front of their houses right now, not letting them get any rest. They're banging on drums. They're using bullhorns to protest the fact that they might decide that Roe versus Wade was not constitutional. Doesn't mean it's going to stop. It just simply means that the states will have the authority, not the federal government, to make those decisions. And states, I think, like South Carolina will decide, we don't want any more of it. I hope we do. If you folks will vote for the right person, by the way, the 14th is coming up. Don't forget to vote. It's your responsibility. You have a choice. The next evidence that we have that we're in the last times is that people will become truce breakers. That means that people will be unable to tell the truth. And if you want an epidemic that's going on in this nation right now, that is going on. Press won't tell you the truth. News people won't tell you the truth. The government won't tell you the truth. Nobody will, except for a brother or sister in Christ. Folks, we got an opportunity. We have an opportunity. We talked about this morning. We talked about tomorrow. I really threw you a curve this morning when we spent so much time talking about tomorrow. And Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Have you used today? Have you talked to somebody today about their relationship with God? I see a lot of people at the apartment complex. Some of them walk. They do a cycle around the apartment complex. And I saw one young lady, she's a college student, probably in her 20s, walk past four or five times. And each time she walked past, she looked so serious. And so the fifth time she came by, I said, young woman, she said, huh? I said, are you happy? And she just looked at me. And I said, well, if you are, tell your face, because you're not smiling. And I said, you look a lot prettier when you smile. I actually said that to her. She said, I've never thought about it. She says, you're right. She said, thank you. I said, now there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is shown with a smile. Joy is given to us by God in our hearts. And the only way we can have that is to have Jesus Christ in our heart. Do you know him as your personal Savior? He said, no. Wouldn't you like to have joy? Yes. Gave her a gospel tract. This will tell you how. And you're invited to come over to our church. We'd love to have you. He said, well, you remember my mother and I used to work. I'm going to school up in North Carolina now. I said, that's okay. While you're walking, do me a favor. Keep a big smile on your face. And people will wonder what you're up to. And she started to laugh at that point. Every one of us can interact with people. But we have to take the initiative. People are living in their own little ugly world, and they're not happy. For number one, they don't have the joy of the Lord in their hearts. Remember, we have the Holy Spirit. What kind of fruit does he bring? What's the first one? Okay, joy. Three is peace. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You know that. Put it in practice. Yes, people are truth breakers. They can't tell the truth. A large segment of our society is no longer believable, including our president. There are prominent politicians who simply cannot tell the truth under any circumstances. They've sold out completely to the devil, and yet lost people still listen. John 8, 43 and 44 says, why do ye not understand my speech? This is Jesus talking, it's all in red. Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. I like that line. There is no truth in the devil. Don't expect it from him. Not for anything. And Jesus said, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every time you hear someone lie on the news, you know they are working for the devil. He is their father. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a movement right now called the cancel culture, and that is becoming so prominent among our society. It's based upon the movement to destroy anyone who does not agree with the authority and power at the time. Cancel culture. It begins with a false accusation against the innocent. And then the innocent is destroyed by separating them from everything that they might possess. Everything. If he has millions, the cancel culture will take it. General Flynn can serve as a good example of that. He started out with a home and millions of dollars. It took every penny he had to come to the point where he is free. Every penny. He can never recover it. Cancel culture. And this nation from seacoast to seacoast is developing that and practicing that. They even stole General Flynn's reputation. And council culture has attempted to destroy it unsuccessfully, fortunately. If the cancel culture has a choice, they will separate the person from their family. The family will become enemies. And the next evidence of the last days are those who are called incontent. I said incontent, it's incontent. Someone who's incontent is someone who is powerless. They are also without self-control. If you're looking for an example, look at Vice President of the United States. She's always good for a laugh. No matter who's died. Another change that's taking place within our society is that of becoming more fierce in its interaction with others. The proper word for this change would be savage. Our society is becoming savage. Look at the rioting. Look at the arson. Look at the murder. That's our society, folks. This is what Paul was warning Timothy about 2,000 years ago. I want to ask you a question. Have we covered most of what's going on? Are we approaching the last days? I think so. I hope you're looking up. Now, there's part of me that says, I want a few more tomorrows, okay? Knowing what Jesus said about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. There are still things I want to do. There are still things you want to do. Is that wrong? No. Not if you're willing to take God's will for your life. What is God's will for your life? It's certainly none of what Paul was warning Timothy about. Those are the risk that we will take. The last part of the verse that we were looking at was that they would be despisers of those who are good. If you remain a Christian, if you live as a Christian, if you act like a Christian, if you talk like a Christian, you are going to be despised. Cancel culture wants to get rid of the church, and they're working on it. There is legislation even now being developed to get rid of the church. The church can be gotten rid of in one swift movement. Did you know that? This church can be eliminated with one small codified piece of legislation. Let's make the church pay property tax like everybody else. And there will not be a church left in this country. Not a one. We will be back to meeting in people's homes secretly. That day is coming. I believe it. People have become traitors. They have become heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. why are there so many empty chairs in this auditorium? Because people are out doing what they want to do that doesn't involve God. It doesn't matter what other people do. It just matters what you do. Who you are, what your relationship is with God. Why are our churches in decline? Because people do love pleasure more than they love God. I wonder, will pleasure keep them comfortable in the lake of fire? Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you that we have been able to look into your word and look at a few verses and realize that this is part of your plan. You are using it to accomplish your will. And Father, we know that as long as we are here on this earth, that there is one other verse that you will apply to us. That all things will work together for good if we love you and we permit ourselves to be called according to your purpose. Father, may we live for your purpose. May we do your purpose. And Father, may we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer and our plea to thee this night, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.